Ukraine. This is according to UN Human Rights Commission. About 1,200 civilians killed, Ukrainians, 100 children in that group. 100 children are dead because of Vladimir Putin. Just think about that. About 10 million refugees we reported last week, and that number's coming up. 4 million have left the country, 6 million wandering around in Ukraine. This is for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. Russian casualties are estimated between 7,000 and 15,000 Russian troops. Nobody knows. The Russian government reports 1,351 troops killed. That's a lot, they're saying it, but it's far more than that, because they're going to tell you the truth. The only free press organ in Russia, named Novaya Gazeta, okay, has been shut down. So Putin says, no reporting at all. We don't want anything other than what the government's going to tell them. And there are negotiations that will be between the Russians and the Ukrainians in Turkey. I assume Istanbul might be Ankara on Tuesday and Wednesday. I don't think it'll lead to anything. Now, Putin said he invaded Ukraine because he doesn't want NATO on his eastern border. NATO's doubling its presence on the eastern border because of the, and I said this last week, invasion. So Putin, you know, next time you hear Putin smart, maybe not. Joe Biden. So he's back in D.C. after a three-day trip, Brussels and Poland. But in Poland, he, I mean, all right, just roll the tape on Biden in Poland.
Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia, for free people refused to live in a world of hopelessness and darkness. We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principles, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Whoa, he's talking about bad Vlad. Now, everyone in Europe, and I think probably in Ukraine, around the world, want a ceasefire. Okay, they want Putin to stop shooting. Now, Biden says, well, I can't stand power. And they're all going, oh my God, we just want it to stop. We'll take care of Putin after that. So, within an hour, Secretary of State Blinken goes, no. We're not calling for regime change. I think the president just did that. Now, he's right. Putin can't stay, but you got to do it incrementally. Biden, no, he says no. So now we got another controversy all about that. Then NBC comes out with a poll. Now, the Biden administration thought it was going to get a bump from Ukraine. They thought that Americans would rally around the executive, the commander in chief, because of the invasion. As it happened, according to NBC, their poll says, do you approve or disapprove of the job Joe Biden is doing? Approve 40, disapprove 55, the lowest ever number for NBC. And other polls, Rasmussen and some others, got Biden in the mid-30s. Okay, so NBC goes, whoa. And they don't know what to do over at NBC because NBC is the most liberal network. More liberal than CNN or ABC or CBS. They're really in a tank for the Democrats. They don't know what to do. Their own people are saying, oh, this is really a disaster. And while we are on the subject of polls, you may know that Mark Penn, he's a frequent guest on the No Spin News. He runs a poll, Harvard Harris, and they have new things out that are interesting. 1,900 and almost 2,000 registered voters. All right. And it's usually a fair poll. So I want to bring in Mr. Penn now. He joins us from Miami, where he's on spring break. He's usually out on the beach with the Speedo, with the you know, but now he, you know, came in to talk to us, and we really appreciate it, Mark. Thank you. First of all, job approval. NBC had it 40% approval for Joe Biden. You have it at 39. That's the same. And as I said, the White House thought they were going to get a bump from how Biden is handling Ukraine, but he has not. Why?
Well, because the number one issue is inflation, and inflation is raging, and consumers are unhappy with inflation, and people think that the president of the United States probably should have stopped Putin from engaging in this in the first place. So it's very hard for President Biden to get a win or a bump out of this, because he kind of owns it. And in fact, I think it's all downside for him, not much upside, because if Putin wins, he's going to look even worse. I suppose he might get a bump if he's able to be part of negotiating a resolution.
Yeah, I mean, they'll say he kept us out of World War III. That's what the Democrats will say. You'd have to do that. Is there a Trump factor in here, though? Because, you know, obviously Putin, he misbehaved a little bit with the hacking and all that, but he didn't do anything nearly this insane under Trump. Do Americans, are they calibrating Biden's Putin situation with Trump in the rear view?
Well, most voters do think that if that under President Trump, Putin was restrained from doing something like this, and that if Trump were president, he wouldn't have done it. So I think that underscores the notion that I think Biden gets a lot of blame here. But again, I think the administration underestimates the fact that the voters are really upset about the economy, number one. And number two, this is, you know, the increasing global mess is not something that he's going to get any credit for at the moment. If anything, the voters are kind of upset that he's moving. Korea seems to be getting more aggressive. They don't know what's going to happen with China. You know, he's maybe doing a deal with Iran instead of, you know, bucking up our allies. So you know,
they don't have any confidence
about his foreign policy.
I don't think many people have confidence in Joe Biden. And your next question is right on that. Do you think the country's right track or wrong track? Right track 34. I don't really know who these people are, but they probably live in California, even though they're paying $7 a gallon out there. Wrong track 58. I think a lot of it has to do with Americans not being engaged, most of them, with the media. So you and me, we know what the media is doing. We follow everything. And people watch the no-spin news. Of course, they do. But the majority of Americans, they don't. They don't watch network news or cable news. They're not really consuming news. But all of a sudden, they're paying twice as much for a gallon of gas. They're going to get angry. They're behind the curve, but they're going to take it out on the leader. I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, no, I think people are unhappy with the country. They're unhappy with the economy. If you look at the president's ratings, even given that the virus is receding, he's not really getting any credit for that. In fact, he's underwater there. He's underwater with inflation. He's underwater with immigration, crime, foreign affairs. I mean, the truth is, as you said, there's a lack of confidence in the president at the moment on virtually any issue. And
yeah,
it takes some major work, right? It
would take some major work. Every issue, he's underwater. Here's something very interesting. If the midterm congressional election were held today, who'd you vote for? Democrat 47, Republican 53. That's closer than I would think it would be. Can you analyze that for us?
Well, that's actually a pretty big split for the Republicans, because there's something funny about that question. Even when it comes out 3 or 4 points Democratic, usually the vote is even. I haven't really figured out why. So when you see that kind of split in favor of the Republicans, that actually is an enormous split. And then what also happens is that the coasts tend not to change all that much, and all the swing areas have even a more exaggerated change, which is why, you know, right now, if the administration doesn't really change course here, you know, this is a wave election against the Democrats.
But it can't change course, because inflation is not going to come down that quickly. I mean, gas prices in my town did drop about 3 or 4 cents, and that's going to be on a worldwide market, you're going to see. But we're still going to be paying more for everything, and then you can't 6 months knock that down. Now, your next question is a provocative one. Is Joe Biden mentally fit to serve as president? Mentally fit, 45%. Have doubts about his fitness, 55%. I've never seen that number in a president in my lifetime.
Well, I think that's right. I think the number one, you know, we used to track all the time, is should you impeach Trump, or is he going to get the number one thing with Biden is he mentally fit and competent? And so we track that on every poll, and these numbers are not good. And I don't think this correction of the gaffe really helps him. If I were the White House staff, I would not have done what they're doing, spending 2 days correcting what the president said.
Oh, I know, because it makes him look like he's not in charge. But they had to do it because NATO was in such an uproar. They want the shooting to stop. And that's, you know, by saying we're going to get you, Putin, that's not going to stop the shooting. So that's what that was all about. This question, maybe you can explain. I know you can explain it to me. All right. The most favorable political figures in the world. Trump is number one in your poll. Pence number two, and Bernie Sanders number three? Bernie Sanders?
Well, I think, you know, people always liked him personally. They didn't agree with his positions on things, but they liked him, and he always presented this kind of avuncular kind of uncle kind of persona that actually Biden used to have a very likable persona, but all that's gone. And since Trump is not on Twitter and Facebook, it seems to help his likability. But nobody's above 50%. I mean, even he's at 48%. And so no one's getting above 50% in terms of leadership scores.
And the last one is least favorable people. Kristen Sinema, the senator from Arizona, number one. Chris Cuomo and Putin. Now, we know Putin, but Kristen Sinema and Chris Cuomo, I was surprised.
You really can't look at the least favorable, just look at the unfavorable because the favorable number, because with Kristen Sinema, a lot of people don't know her. So her small favorable is because of that. You really look at the ratio. And when you look at the ratio, you really see how, you know, Pelosi, you know, how negative she really is, and AOC and Chris Cuomo, for that matter. And of course,
I'm glad I didn't make that list, Mark. Thank you for keeping me off it. And we appreciate your time. Again, Mark Penn is the CEO of Stagwell Inc. All right. So can Joe Biden make a comeback? Can he stop the bleeding, turn the midterm elections in November around, which now looks like it's going to be a Republican rout? Is there any hope? So I asked myself to come up with a really smart guy who does this every day, who's not an ideologue, not an ideologue. Hello, are we listening to me? That's not what we want here on this broadcast. We want smart people with no agenda. So we found one, our old pal Scott Rasmussen, who you'll remember I used many times on The Factor over the years. Now, Scott doesn't run the Rasmussen polling operation any longer. He sold it for buku money, and he's living large now in Florida on those proceeds. But he did start a company called RMG Research, and he's editor-at-large at Ballotpedia, which follows all political races in the USA of note. Do I have that right, Scott? Did I describe you correctly?
You described me correctly. I love my work at Ballotpedia, and RMG Research is letting me poll, and there's a lot of topics we explore these days. The world has changed a lot, but some of the basics are the same.
Okay, so let's walk through it. In your opinion, based on the numbers that you are seeing, can President Biden make a political comeback?
Well, the numbers say he's in trouble, as you pointed out. The question, can he make a comeback, is more about him. You know, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, they had rough times in the polls heading into the midterms. They all came back. I mean, Reagan got to the point where he won 49 states. The big difference, Joe Biden does not have the political skills that those leaders had. So it's very difficult for me to see how he comes back from this. He may rebound a little bit, but the notion that he will return to a level that he saw early in his administration or to the levels of Barack Obama, not going to happen.
Okay. My problem with Mr. Biden is that he doesn't understand cause and effect. He doesn't understand when he does something like shut down pipelines, ban drilling, cut down the efficiency of the American oil industry, that he weakens the nation. He doesn't understand that when he spends trillions and trillions of dollars and print money to cover that rises inflation. Joe Biden doesn't understand, in my opinion. And that's why he can't make a comeback. Do you feel that my opinion has validity?
Well, you know, I can't say specifically what the president does or does not understand about those issues, but it certainly appears that way. The other thing I would say more fundamentally is he doesn't seem to understand why he was elected. I mean, basically, there were two promises of the Biden campaign. He wouldn't tweet. There wouldn't be all the drama of President Trump. And he would be very competent in running the government. And he's 0 for 2. I guess he hasn't tweeted, but he certainly hasn't been competent. And he really got carried away pursuing this progressive agenda that is wildly out of touch with where the American people are. Those led to everything else.
As a pollster, what percentage of the American people are progressive left? And what that means for everybody watching and listening tonight is that they believe that the country, United States, is fundamentally flawed, and we need a drastic overhaul in all areas, criminal justice, economics, whatever it may be, elections, they don't want voter ID, open borders, they believe in all that. What percentage of we the people fall into that category?
If you want to talk about any of those individual issues, you might get to 15 or 20%. Okay. If you want people who have totally bought into that worldview, you're closer to 10%.
Then why would Joe Biden, who's been a centrist Democrat in the Senate, why would he allow those far left people to dictate what he does?
Well, again, I don't know what's motivating the president, but what I do see is there is a bubble. There is an elite bubble in this country. It is media personalities. It is large corporations. It is people in Washington, D.C. These folks really kind of aren't, maybe it's because they feel guilty about success. They really do support an agenda that is out of touch with the rest of America. To give you a great sense, the group that gives President Biden the highest job approval ratings are people with a postgraduate degree. Everybody else is seeing a different president and a different presidency. So I think it's the bubble that he lives in, and he's really not hearing voices from the American people.
Well, he is an isolated president, there's no doubt about it, because his staff believes that he's prone to gaffes, you know, saying things that are going to get him in trouble. And many believe that he's diminished. Now, in your polling, I guess the majority of people now feel that Joe Biden's mental acuity is on the decline. Is that true?
It's certainly a factor, and it's something that you see in the polls. This is one of those things that's really difficult to put your finger on because some people don't even like to talk about it. But yes, there is, if I put it in the larger sense of their questioning his competence, the competence of his administration, that is absolutely a factor. It really kicked in with the debacle of the Afghanistan withdrawal.
Okay. Now, if you have a president who is incompetent, as Biden has been for 14 months, then are Americans going to admit that they made a mistake in voting for him and the Democratic Party, which is doing everything it can to boost him up? All right. Will people admit, I made a mistake? I may despise Donald Trump, but he'd be better. And you don't even have to say Donald Trump. You could say any Republican. All right. I made a mistake in voting Democrat for Biden. Do you think the electorate is ready to do that? Everything is expensive these days. You know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD or text GOLD to 65532.
It's hard for people to admit the mistakes, as you made clear right up front. I believe if you define admitting a mistake as voting for the other party in the midterms, absolutely. If it's admitting a mistake is thinking ahead to 2024, it's difficult right now. I don't think Joe Biden's going to run again. It'll be difficult for any president.
No, he's not going to run again.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's going on here is the political left assumed that Donald Trump was promoting these wacko policies. They didn't understand that even people who don't like the president liked a lot of his policies. And that has thrown them in a bad direction.
Yeah, so but that's partly Donald Trump's fault, which is why I did the history tour to stop that crazy bombast and get into the policy successes. And when he was with me, he was fine. But now he's right back to the election. All right. So from my analysis, and this is the last question I have for you, my analysis of the poll shows that independent voters, which elected Joe Biden, okay, that was a deciding factor, independents.
There was.
They have gone way against Biden now. They don't want to hear about Biden. Am I wrong?
You are correct on that, and the Democrats will pay a price for it in November. The only question is, how good a year will it be for the Republicans? There's still some concern among the GOP, or at least there should be, that they might not get control of the Senate. They're favored to do so, but it might not happen. But it's going to be a good year for the Republicans, and it's all because of President Biden.
Okay. Tell us just a little about Ballotpedia. Can the folks benefit from doing what?
Ballotpedia is the encyclopedia of American politics. It has more data, neutral data, on any topic. In fact, it's the only political site out there that has a readership including Republicans, Democrats, independents, progressives, and conservatives, because you get just the facts.
So and how do we get it? How do we get it?
You go online to ballotpedia.org. It's all you have to do.
It's free? You're not charging?
It's free. Nope, it's free. You can sign up for newsletters. It's a great service.
Ballotpedia, one word, ballotpedia.org.
Yes.
And there's Scott Rasmussen. I'm going to ask my staff to go on every day, Scott, so we may be bothering you in the future to come on and explain certain races to us as the midterms get closer. We really appreciate your time. Good to see you, Scott. Thank you.
Good to see you.
One of the things that Joe Biden has no clue about is narcotic smuggling into the United States. So I remember a long time ago when Donald Trump first became president, I had a conversation with him about the drug cartels in Mexico. And I told or suggested, I shouldn't use the word told when I'm talking to a president. I suggested to President Trump that he might look into designating the Mexican drug cartels as terrorist groups. And I said, if you do that, then you can drone them. And believe me, when you read Killing the Killers, my new book, what do you see? The weapons we have in space. But anyway, I said, if you designate the Mexican cartels terror groups, which they absolutely are, because they're killing hundreds of thousands of Americans, okay, you can go in and kill them. The United States can go in and kill them. We don't need Obrador in Mexico to do it. Anyway, the president, Trump, did that. He brought it to Obrador. He says, I'm going to do this unless you take much more aggressive action against the cartels and seal the border with your military, which Obrador did. That was the Remain in Mexico policy. So Obrador sealed the southern border with Guatemala and the northern border with the USA by using his military. First time that ever happened in Mexican history. And it happened because Trump threatened to designate the cartels as terror groups, and Obrador did not want that. Okay. The moment Joe Biden became president, Obrador pulled all his troops off both borders because he knew that Biden wouldn't do anything to stop the migrants or the narcotics. That was on inauguration night. That's how quick that happened. So now Angus King, you know Angus King? He's the independent senator from Maine, but he's not an independent. He's a liberal Democrat. He always votes with the liberal Democrats, Angus King. Well, Angus King is really mad about all the narcotics flooding into not only Maine, but the United States. Roll it.
Here's what's bothering me. If this were a terrorist cell in Latin America, killing 100,000 Americans a year, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about not enough ISR and allocating it. I'm really absolutely sick of this. This is one of the drug trade is one of the primary threats to this country. It's killing two people a day in my state. Who's in charge? What individual in the United States government is in charge of stopping drugs coming from Latin America?
Biden's in charge. Biden. That's who's in charge. Not doing anything. It's an open border policy. Absolute open border policy. So Senator King shouldn't be directing his remarks to the subcommittee on emerging threats. That's what he was doing. He should be asking for a meeting with Biden. Now, on May 12, 2021, almost a year ago, here's what I said on this broadcast. So on my press tour for Killing the Mob, I tell many of the interviewers who ask about contemporary mob involvement that organized crime loves Joe Biden. Now, why would I say that? Well, since he has been president, there have been more than 450,000. Just think about this for a minute. 450,000 foreign nationals who have confronted Border Patrol or ICE agents on the Mexican border. 450,000 in 100 days. So drug interdiction, which comes under Border Patrol ICE, stopping narcotics coming from Mexico, that has evaporated. The cartels are now smuggling more methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, and the other pernicious drug. I'll think of it. The opioid that kills you, okay, fast. More are coming in now than have ever before in U.S. history. Fentanyl, okay? More drugs, hard drugs, than any other time in our history flooding in because of Joe Biden's crazy open border policy. And Biden has done absolutely nothing to stop narcotics from flowing into the United States. And it's a terror threat. I kind of wish in hindsight that President Trump did designate the cartels as terror groups, because then, as I mentioned earlier, you're going to see the weapons when you read Killing the Killers, which is out May 3rd. You'll see the weapons that we have. Nobody knows what we have. All right. And I had to put it in the book because that's how they're tracking down the jihadists, the ISIS and Al-Qaeda's and Boko Haram's. With these weapons, you can do this with the cartels. I mean, it's where do you see this? These weapons, what we have. So anyway, I thought that was very interesting. You'll never see this reported anywhere else, but it's entirely President Biden's fault that we're flooded with narcotics in this country.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, there's a poll by the Wall Street Journal. They asked people, do you think Biden's going to run again? 52% of Americans say he is not going to run, right? Only 29% expect him to run for a second term. 29%, okay? 19 don't know. Among Democrats, 41% of Democrats say they don't think Biden's going to run again. And he's not. Now, I'll get into that in another day at another time. You all know the poll numbers. You all know inflation. You all know the chaotic state that we're living in America today. There's just no way he's going to run again. All right. So let's bring in a guy who does this for a living, who analyzes politics for a living, sees down the road. I want to advance the story. His name is Bob Charles. He comes to us from Phoenix, Arizona. He's the director of communications for First Strategic. Okay. So all Bob does to make a living is politics. You know, I feel sorry for you, Bob. I mean, I do a lot of politics, but I do other stuff. I don't know what I'd do if I just all politics. But anyway, in my analysis, have you seen anything that you disagree with, number one?
Quick and easy answer, no. I can expound on that a little bit. In that, and nowadays, it's assumed that the president is going to run for re-election. The last president that didn't was Lyndon Johnson. And to the point with the 29%, 29% of people are looking at Joe Biden and saying, yeah, he's going to run again. I got to tell you, Bill, if I'm running your campaign and you're running for re-election and I see that number, I figure out a way to pull you out of that race. So, yeah, he's not running again.
Okay. So I said on the radio today, the Democrats don't have any viable candidate, certainly not Kamala Harris. She's polling worse than Biden. And looks like a 12-year-old when she gets into a situation where she has to articulate danger, if she can't. So she's off the board. Governors, I guess there are a few Democrat governors they could put out. But do you see anybody who could give the Republicans at this juncture, things can change, of course, a run in 2024?
No, and then there's... I got to say that there's not somebody that jumps out. And if you look at maybe Biden's cabinet, you got a Buttigieg or, you know, maybe retread trying Beto or somebody like that. There's nobody that jumps to the front.
No, there's no way. There is a Democrat who could give the Republicans a run, and her name is Michelle Obama. Mm. Okay. So that's what I said on the radio today. I said, no Hillary Clinton. Americans don't like Hillary Clinton. She wants it. And she's raising money. But if Michelle Obama decides to run, and she would not decide until very late, okay, and she obviously, I've said she doesn't have any interest, she doesn't want to do it. But Michelle Obama is the only Democrat in this country at this juncture who could give the Republicans, as things stand now, a race. Do you agree?
She would be formidable because of not just who she is, but there's an emotional appeal. There's a younger appeal. There's the energy that frankly, I mean, look, I don't mean this as any disrespect to the president, but he is showing his age. And at 79, you know, to be in his 80s is his next term. People look at that and they say, no way. That's where Michelle Obama, young and vibrant, been around. People could get, she could inspire.
Yeah, and she'll get the minority precincts to support her, and she'll raise a ton of money, probably record-breaking amounts of money. But she's a very, very liberal woman, and her husband didn't really do that well in 8 years. Now, that won't matter to the ideologues, but to the independents, Bob, as you know, in Arizona, independents are huge now, okay? Independents will decide the next presidential race. So she's not a lock to win. But she is a lock if she wants it for the nomination, right?
Absolutely. And then when you mentioned the independents, especially in Arizona, Arizona is now one of the most important states in the entire nation when it comes to determining an election. Should those independents swing, which now, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Maricopa County, the largest county in Arizona, has just in the last month become primarily independent,
right,
is a major voting block.
Bob, I know everything about Arizona. There's nothing I don't know about the entire state because it's my business to know. All right, last question. Do you agree with me that the midterms will be a slaughter and the Republicans You know, they'll take both houses, I believe, and they may even have veto-proof majorities.
Let me give you 2 points. There has never been, you can look at it statistically, under Trump, Obama, Clinton in 94, any time a president has entered this stage of the race in the approval ratings where they're at, they have lost majorities in the House. So if I look at statistics, I say absolutely, Biden, I'm sorry, you are going to lose a lot of votes in the House. That doesn't mean that we still can't snatch that victory away. If we continue to talk about things that are not things people don't care about, then we can mess this up as Republicans. We can blow this opportunity.
Okay. All right, Bob, we appreciate it very much. Thank you. And let us move along now to another poll, Rasmussen. It's about higher gas prices. It's a simple poll. How serious of a problem are rising gasoline prices for your personal budget? Serious or very serious, 81%. Not serious, 18. I guess they're the ones who lives in Palm Beach, all right? Not West Palm Beach, the difference. Palm Beach, 81%. Okay, has the rising gasoline caused you to drive less? 59% yes, 39% no. Has the rising gasoline caused you to reduce spending on other purchases? 61% less, no 35, and that signals a recession. Consumer spending is dropping fast because of inflation. I hate to give you that kind of news, but you got to prepare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, here is the final thought of the day. So I went to my doctor last week. Remember, I told you the three things you must have in this life in America are a doctor you trust, a lawyer you trust, and a financial planner you trust. If you don't have them, research, get them. So my doctor, looking out for me, wants to keep me on the planet as long as possible. About a year ago, I had high blood sugar. That leads to diabetes. And sugar leads to inflammation inside your body. It affects everything. It's like tobacco. But in the sugar industry, which is everything in our food industry, you'll never hear that. Never hear how bad sugar is, but it's bad. Okay? So I had really high elevated blood sugar. So I said, okay, no more sugar. I knocked it out. Didn't take a pill. Don't like pills. Didn't take them. Just got a reasonable diet. Sourdough bread instead of white and rye and wheat. Sourdough bread doesn't have that sugar content. Okay? No sugar drinks. All right? I got the drinks that have very, very little sugar. Water, iced teas with not a lot of sugar. There's a million of them. There's a million of them. I don't like the artificial stuff, sweeteners, so I just get the ones with very low sugar content. And then I watched it. But if you watch the sugar, the candy and the cookies, the snacks, and the bread, it's going to come down. So the guy who is the gold standard here for good eating is Tom Brady, all right, the football quarterback, who at 45 years old is going to be the starting quarterback for Tampa Bay next year, next September, next season, I should say. So here, I know Brady a little bit. He's a good guy, okay? But he's a fanatic. So I can't do what he does, but I want to tell you what he does because it's interesting. So 80% of Brady's diet is fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts. I eat cashew nuts. Cashew nuts cut your hunger. If you're hungry about, you know, like this, pop a few. And cashew nuts are tasty to me anyway. Seeds and legumes. 20% protein, chicken. Brady does eat steak, red meat, seafood. Okay? He disciplines his portions. So when you feel you're full, that's it. So when I was a kid, it was like, you're going to clean your plate because there are kids in Korea that don't have any food. My reply to my father was, well, we'll put a stamp on this terrible potato and send it over to him. And that was like 3 days in the basement. But anyway, 75% full stop. Brady doesn't eat within 3 hours of him going to sleep. And that's smart. So I've kind of brought my dinner thing down. Six, around, I don't eat after seven because it just lays there. All right. So Brady in breakfast, he gets avocado and eggs. Avocado's okay. I'm not a big crazy avocado guy. It's all right. Eggs a couple of times a week for me. Lunch, salad with nuts and fish. All right. I like fish. I like it grilled. And dinner, vegetables and plain chicken. I don't know if I can do that. I got to have a little more tasty stuff. I can eat chicken once in a while. And then Brady snacks on guacamole and mixed nuts. Again, I eat the cashews. He drinks 12 to 25 glasses of water a day. You don't have to do that because Brady's working out like a madman. But water does cut your hunger as well as cashew nuts. So, you know, you drink a little water. You don't take it to church like these morons do. Again, last week at Mass, I'm sitting there, I got a big jug of water. I whispered to him, do you think the priest is going to change it into wine? Little wise guy, even at Mass, okay? But what do you do? You bring in water? For 45 minutes, you can't go without it? Boy. Brady, no white sugar? Nope. No white flour, okay? So Brady's 45. And I'm a little older than him. And he throws a football. I threw a football really well, I have to say. I could get that ball out there 60 yards in my prime with some zip on it. But what I'm trying to do for you is if you do consume the sugar as you get older, it will hurt you. Okay? Just cut it down. You'll see the weight just melt off. I mean, you don't have to be running 8 miles or on a treadmill. You just should get your diet down. I have to take the Terra Dog out 3-4 times a day, so I get that thing, that walk. But it's all reasonable, reasonable, reasonable. Now, I was at Maniscalco on Saturday. I had two cookies, and they were really good. So you can, once or twice a week, you know, do a little ice cream, a little cookie. It's life. All right? So you don't have to be a Spartan like Brady. Brady never gets out of it. He's always doing like this. But he loves it. I mean, he's convinced himself that that's a lifestyle he wants forever. And the guy is as healthy as you can get. At least now he is. That's not going to help you against COVID. But the point here is this, that nobody's going to tell you that sugar is terrible for you. Next time you go into the deli or a grocery store, pick up one of those drinks. One of those Starbucks drinks, one of those iced tea, Snapple drinks, or whatever. And look how many grams of sugar. It's shocking. It's shocking. And your teeth. You know how painful it is to have gum work and teeth work? Well, what do you think's eroding your teeth and gums? Sugar. That's what? I mean, it's just like, even the urchins, I tell them, what are you eating that Twizzler for? What is that? You know, I almost try to embarrass them. Now they're getting a little bit older, so they don't. But when they were kids, I want the Twizzler. I said, why don't you just take a rock and bang it on your head? It's the same damage you're doing. I know, not a benevolent dad, right? Okay, summing up, I want you to be healthy. I do. You're my audience, all right? I want you to be healthy. When you're healthy, you're much happier because you're not in pain and you can do more things. Particularly when you get older, you want to enjoy life, you want to travel, you want to go here, you've got grandkids or you've got kids or you're going to spend some time with them. If you're loaded down with inflammation, sugar-generated inflammation, you're not going to be able to do it. So let's get motivated out there. This is the longest final thought I've ever done, but I think it's the most important. I really believe that you could. I did. It wasn't that hard. It wasn't that hard. There's so many things that you can bring in that aren't going to hurt you. You got to get used to them a little bit. All right, a little bit, but not a lot. You just trial and error it. And then once in a while, you want the cupcake or whatever, take it. Good. But if most of the time, you're disciplined. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you tomorrow.